Well, we're moving now to this topic of Titus 1:6, or I think the topic that you have in your notes is counseling on the topic of faithful children or believing children. And you never knew that one word in this passage could have tremendous bearing on church leadership and their children and their direction. And I want to delve into this in the time that we have. But let me open in prayer. Father, we want to come humbly before you, and your word is truth, and we're to be sanctified by it. And your Holy Spirit is the one who helps illumine our minds to understand your word and the help to apply it to our life. Lord, as we look at this text, Lord, give us the ability to study it well, keep studying it, and think through the applications and the implications of the position that we take. Lord, may we, in a humble mindset, approach your word and each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take a look at the passage. Titus 1, verse 6. You can open up your Bible. I know it states it there in my notes, but I just want you to see it sitting there in your Bible. Let's first go to 1 Timothy 3. If you just turn back a few pages to 1 Timothy 3, and see the section here, and then we'll turn to Titus, written about the same time Paul wrote these letters. Some think the same year, some within maybe 5 years of each other. 1 Timothy 3, and it's giving the qualifications of all godly men, but church leaders are held to these. A trustworthy statement here, he says, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Not that the children are dignified. He's dignified in how he runs the house. But there's the verse. He must manage his own household well. And then down verse 5, if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? All right, now with that in mind, if you'll turn to Titus chapter 1. Paul is writing to the elders at Crete, and or at least to Titus, and saying when you look for leadership, here are the qualifications in verse 5. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, now, depends on what translation you have in front of you, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. How many in here have the New King James Version? Okay, so as you're looking at that text, it doesn't say children who are believers, it says what? Faithful. All right, children who are well managed. There's a big difference there of having an unsaved child who's well managed and to make sure they're a believer, a Christian. And so if you look at the implications here, I want to look at there are two primary interpretations of this passage in Titus 1:6. You see the three words there in your notes? Three little words, techna, ekon, pista. And it's all wrapped around that term, pista. Is it having faith, believing, or is it pista as in just faithful or well-managed? And there are two major interpretations. The first is the children of a pastor or elder have to be saved, believers. And that, in the New American Standard, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe. Every major translation, except the New King James Version, all the modern translations have believing. They have to be believers, saved. Some adherents to this view that the children have to be believers. William Barclay, Michael Griffiths, Donald Guthrie, William Hendrickson, Edmund Hebert, Homer Kent, those who went to Grace Seminary or know of Grace Seminary, Dr. John MacArthur, and he's pretty vocal about it. It's in his commentary on Titus and in his study notes. Anyone have a MacArthur study Bible? In the study notes, right down there, we'll have, they have to be saved and believers, and a statement that says, I think I have it right, if he can't lead his children to Christ, then he can't lead others in the church to Christ either. I'm most familiar with this view. Douglas Milne, W.E. Vine, some of the adherents to, and those who have died might have changed their view. All right, the second interpretation. Faithful children, that is, children who have a faithfulness about them, that they're well-managed or well-controlled. They're dependable. They're not out of control like the people in Crete, the Cretans, who were just reckless and which would follow with that next statement. They're not accused of debauchery and insubordination. So the New King James Version translates it, having faithful children. Well, you know, you say, well, you're going to do a whole workshop on that? That is a huge difference of having children that are well-managed and they all have to be believers. And it has huge implications. How many in here are pastors? Okay, huge implications for you. And for all the rest who are in churches, your leadership. If you have a pastor or if you have elders, whether the plurality of elders, they all have to be believers. So it has huge implications, this particular, and it had in our life as well. And I'll share a little bit about that. Some adherence to this, looking at the text of Pistis, is it faithful or believing? Some adherence to the view that it means well-managed or under control. Dr. William Barrick, some of you may not have ever heard of him. He teaches Old Testament out at the Master's Seminary. He was a missionary over in India somewhere. But he's a scholar. He was on the translation committee of the English Standard Version, the one that I've been quoting from most. A phenomenal scholar. And I quote from him down in the notes. He has a website you can go look at his translation work on it as well. John Betton, H.A. Ironside. George Knight, who wrote a great book on the epistles, the pastoral epistles, an excellent commentary on that. Walter Locke, Alexander Strock, some of you have read through his book on eldership or deacons or hospitality. P.H. Towner. I didn't put down here this, but all of the Nank fellows would be in the second view that I'm familiar with and know. So Jay Adams and everyone else would be under the second view. There are so many other people that I know but haven't written it in a book or a commentary. These are mostly all commentaries. When you look at the epistles, especially Titus, which view do they take? So there's a bibliography that would go with this. There are variations of these two views. Now listen to some of these variations.